Thank you. Please sit down. I'm just going to be focusing. Well, the whole chapter is relevant, but I'm just going to read verse 6 again. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. For the Lord gives wisdom. It's a particular kind of wisdom. You'll notice it's a verbal wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Can we pray, please? Lord, will you bless the preaching and the hearing of your word? And I do pray, Lord, you'll teach us. May we have a clear conviction as we hear and sit under your word, that what we read and what we hear is from you. Spirit of God, give us discernment. For Christ's sake, amen. You'll notice we're set up for a seminar. Now, this was a sort of semi-mistake we made. We weren't sure whether it was a seminar or not, but what we're going to do is have a piece of paper on you, and as I preach, if any questions are raised about what I'm going to say, the tea is going to be brought in here. You're not going to have it out there. It's going to be brought in here. And while you're having tea, you write down the questions, and the elders are going to answer your questions. If there are questions, if there are none, we'll leave it at that. But I'm hoping I'll at least provoke a little bit of questioning in you. Right, in our evening services, we've been answering questions that are put into that box. And I've got enough for now, thank you very much. I've got a particularly difficult one to do next time I preach in the evening. But for tonight, I'd like to raise a question of my own, a question that's been raised by so many people so many times since I've been here. And it's this. Why is my approach as the pastor of the church, why is my approach to preaching more concerned with proclamation than instruction? Why do I not offer more practical messages? In other words, you may say, yes, we know we need to hear doctrines, but why not spend more time telling people how our Christianity is to be practically lived out? You may say, yes, I know that we must love people. Yes, it says so in the Bible, but what does that mean in rubber meets the road practical terms? This has been a question asked me so many times. Do you get the question? Why do I put doctrinal statement before practical instruction when I'm preaching? I'll answer that question. And remember, you can respond because I'm going to be at your mercy when I stand down there. So please hear what I'm saying now. The Bible is a very strange book. It's full of stories, prophecies, typologies, parables. But when you think about it, there is very little actual how-to instruction in the Bible. I mean, the Muslims have the Quran. And the Quran is full of instructions. Muslims are told what to wear, what to eat, when to eat, how to eat, when to wash, how to wash, when to fast, when to pray, how to treat your wife, how to treat your children. There is every detail of their life laid out for them. In the Quran, you have instructions galore. Muslims know in fine detail, down to their costumes. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you, down to their underwear, no jokes. They know what the Quran says. They know practically in the Quran how to do Islam. The Hindu Vedas are also full of practical instructions, if you've ever read them. If you're a Hindu, you know exactly what position to pray in when you're actually praying to what particular god. You know how to address a particular caste in a particular way. You're told how to walk if you're a certain caste. You're given fine details on how to practically live out your life, your religion, what to eat, how to dress, and so on. The Hindu scriptures are very practical when it comes to how to live out your faith. In fact, most religions I know involve practical instruction. And you can see how it's practical because Muslims all look the same, don't they? They all dress the same. They all greet you the same. Because they're told in fine detail how to live out their religion. And yet not Christianity. This is why you get Christians who do very different things in different ways. We worship differently. We've got different standards of dressing. We've got different tastes in worship. Because the Bible focuses not on what you must eat or how you must worship or how you must dress. The Bible focuses not on what you must do, but on what God has done. The Bible's not a book of instruction. It's not an owner's manual guide. It's a declaration of the mind of God to his creatures. And this raises a question. If this is so, how are we to live? Does the Bible not care about our day-to-day practical lives? Yes, it does. But now you need to listen. It does so in a very different way from any other holy book in the world. The Bible teaches what is known as wisdom. In the Old Testament, chachma. I'm going to have a bit of a throat to say it. Chachma, wisdom. Sophia in the New Testament. This wisdom is mentioned all over the Bible, but the place to find it concentrated is the book of Proverbs. And here, wisdom is the focus of God's message. In the passage we've just read, we've been told that we must search for wisdom as we search for hidden treasure. We're to apply our hearts to understanding wisdom. What is this wisdom? A good definition of biblical wisdom, this is John Owen here, the great Puritan. This is a definition of what we mean by wisdom. It is revelation knowledge distilled into personal conviction. Revelation knowledge, the truth about God and about the doctrines of God, coming from the head, distilled by the power of the Holy Spirit, distilled into a personal conviction. And this is vital. Wisdom is that truth that you learn from the Bible that becomes revelation knowledge to you. And it inspires your heart, changes you, and affects you in such a way that it influences your way of life and obviously your day-to-day behavior. Wisdom in the Old Testament is a biblical mindset. It motivates, it influences your daily life in all you do. Remember, we're told in the Bible, as a man thinks, so he is. Well, wisdom is to think under the influence of God's divine revelation. Okay, how do we get this wisdom? Look at verse 6 again. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You see, we get God's wisdom from God's verbal communication. In other words, we get wisdom from the Bible. So let me say it one more time. Wisdom in a biblical sense is not a matter of IQ or your intelligence. In fact, the wisdom of God fools the wisdom of man, according to the Apostle Paul. The wisdom of God is revelation knowledge distilled from our head down to our heart into personal conviction. And personal conviction motivates our hands and our feet. The more of God's truth you know, really know and grasp, the more of the wonders of God that amaze you and shake you, the more your behavior will be motivated by that knowledge. This is chachma, wisdom. So, why does God not give us detailed instructions on how to eat, how to work, what clothes to wear, when to worship, how to pray, how to serve? The answer is very simple when you think about it in the light of wisdom. God moves his children not by instruction, but by motivation. God starts with your heart, which is the command center of your actions. If your heart is not into practical things anyway, then it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, the Pharisees did a lot of practical things and they did it very well, but it didn't impress God at all, because true godly behavior is the motivation that comes from the heart. Anything you do merely to be done means nothing to God. Anybody can be trained to behave in a Christian way, but God's children are moved to behave by wisdom. We act according to what we know from God's word. That's been given to our understanding, and it's been distilled into our hearts. And this is clearly shown in the Apostle Paul's writing. Think about this. In most of Paul's letters, he begins his letters with doctrine. He tells us biblical truths about God, who God is, what God does, why God saves us, how he saved us, what he's going to do. He gives us these profound doctrines, and he always comes to a part in his closing off, and he goes, therefore, brothers, dia tuto, in consequence of these truths. And then he goes on, because of this, therefore, you should behave in this way. This is why he saved us, therefore we should appreciate. He forgave us, therefore we should forgive others. He grants all special gifts to us, therefore we should be thankful. Therefore. In other words, in the light of the objective truth of God, the response to that truth, when it hits our hearts by wisdom, ought to be what? Respect, honor, submission, duty, compassion to others. The word therefore is what biblical wisdom is all about. Wisdom is basically the truths of God that we learn hitting our heads, understanding, going down to our hearts, and it becomes a therefore. And that motivates everything I do. Okay, do you see what I'm saying, or have I made heavy weather of that? This is very important. We live at a time when this wonderful truth is hardly known anymore. In fact, there are so many evangelical preachers spending precious pulpit time telling people how to do things that really only godly motivation, wisdom, can spur people to do. The Bible is not like the Quran. It's not like the Bhagavad Gita. Scripture aims at the heart, not the will. And that's very important. The will can only be moved once the heart has been won. Christians are practically moved by wisdom. Chachma. You see, as a man thinks, so he is. Show me your priorities in life. Show me your main concerns. Show me what you spend your time doing when you have free time. And I'll pretty much show you what you believe to be reality, what you really think matters. It's what you know that dictates what you do and how you will do it. Do any of you remember that documentary, The Secret Life of Five-Year-Olds? Any of you watch it? There was a part where they had this little boy, little five-year-old boy, and they put him in a room, sitting at a table, and there's a big bowl of the most delicious sweets on the table. And they say, listen, we're going to go out now, but whatever you do, don't touch those sweets. And they've got a secret camera in there, and they go out. And you see him fumbling, and 2 minutes later, he can't resist it. He takes a sweet, takes another one. You know, he doesn't think anyone will notice. It's a big pile. And he's munching sweets, and they come in. If he hadn't said, no, 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 you know. But then the next day, they take him into another room, and there's also sweets on the table, but there's this big camera there staring down at him. And they say, there's a camera watching you. Now, whatever you do, don't touch those sweets. And they go out. Do you know, for the whole time he sits with his arms folded, he's not touching the sweets. Because, you see, it's been proven again and again that people do according to what people know and what people believe. What you believe will inevitably result in how you behave, in how you treat others, in how you dress, in how you eat, in all of this stuff. Wisdom is the knowledge of God that motivates a believer's behavior. We don't have to be told in fine detail, dress like that, do this, do this, do this. That's just training people to be Pharisees. That's just giving people stuff to do, and as soon as no one's looking, they'll go back to their old way. God works with the heart, the command center of your behavior patterns. And he breaks your heart with the truth of God. And once your heart's been won, it becomes wisdom. It's truth that motivates behavior. So you can train people to act very Christian, but that's simply, let's face it, training up Pharisees. God wants fruit from us. And as Jesus said, you've got to make the tree good before the fruit is good. You can't train people how to bear fruit. You deal with the tree, not the fruit. And that's what God does with wisdom. So let me recap. The question tonight was this. Why so much doctrine in my approach to preaching? And I'm not defending myself. I'm convinced my conscience is clear. Why so much doctrine and so little practical how-tos? You know, I can do a sermon on how to be nice to the person next door and give you certain tips, step one, step two, step... Why don't I do that? The simple answer is this. If you want that kind of instruction, go to the Quran, because there you'll have very practical instruction, right down to how you dress and how you sit and who you talk to and who you don't talk to. Every day is dictated to by in the Quran. But the Bible's not like that. That's why Christians are so diverse. We worship differently, we dress differently, we have different tastes. The Bible puts the horse before the cart. It is motive that causes behavior. It's what you think that's going to make you act the way you do. And as I say, this that causes Christian motivation is chachma, wisdom. We're told in our text we should be seeking for this wisdom like gold. Because you know what? I don't know about you, but the more I've learned about God, the more it's affected my life and my values and my priorities. C.S. Lewis put it like this, and I'll close with this. He's always got a brilliant way of explaining doctrine in ways everyone gets it. He summed up what I'm saying like this, because he had a whole lecture on the importance of doctrine. He said, imagine two men wake up in a room with a bed and a window with curtains and a sink in the corner. But these two men, the first man wakes up and he believes he's in a 5-star hotel. And he looks around him and immediately says, oh, this is a terrible room. Look at the view outside. Look at those curtains. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no room service. This is a dump. And his whole attitude to that room is dictated to by what he believes. It's a 5-star hotel. Look at this dump. The second man wakes up and he believes he's in a prison camp. And he looks around and he thinks, wow, at least I've got a sink to wash myself. At least there's a soft mattress. Thank goodness there's a window. It's not dark. And he's content with the room. It's the same room, two different belief systems. It's the belief system that dictates your behavior, which is dictated to by your motivation, which the Bible says is dictated to by the very words of God. What do we read in our text? The mouth of God gives us wisdom. So wisdom is what Christians need to strive for. The truths of God's word. Revelation knowledge distilled into personal conviction. Isn't that a good way of putting it? Revelation knowledge coming from my head, distilled into my heart, and becoming my worldview, my value system, my priority system. A truth makes... I don't need to be told the fine details because wisdom will guide me.